Well, good morning and welcome back to the LifePoint DraftCast. My name is Brian Broyles and I'm the Community Life Pastor at our Delaware campus. This past week, we continued on in our series, Into the Wild, and we've said every week, right, the big idea for the series that God moves his people from bondage to freedom. And this past week, our focus was in Exodus chapter 32, where we get to see this story, this very well-known part of the Exodus narrative dealing with the golden calf. And we pick up the story when Moses is up at the top of the mountain receiving instruction from God on how to build the tabernacle and how the people of Israel are to worship him, while the people of Israel are actually at the bottom of the mountain doing something quite different. All right, chapter 32 starts out with this delay in Moses coming down from the mountain. The text said that he had been up there for 40 days and 40 nights in total. So the people are now without Moses, without the pillar of cloud and fire that they had been following. And in the absence of these tangible things, they turn to Aaron and pressure him into making this golden calf, right? They wanted him to make a god that would go before them. And Aaron didn't put up much of a fight. He took the gold that they had and made this golden-plated calf. Most would say it's an idol after the Egyptian bull god Apis. And we should remember that only a few months ago, they were still in Egypt, right? Surrounded by this deep pagan culture that they had known for generations. I mean, they grew up there. It's only been a few months since they left that and were under God's anti-idolatry commands. So when they didn't feel the presence of God, right, when they got into a time when they were scared and they were overcome with this anxiety, when they were under stress, they went back to something familiar. So once they had Aaron make this golden plated calf, right, this idol for the people, he said in verse 5, and I think this is key for us. Aaron said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." Now to me, this shows that they didn't just reject God. Right, God had a place. He said they were going to hold a feast to the Lord. They didn't just reject God. They simply wanted to have something alongside God. They wanted to depend on something along with God that they worshiped and sacrificed for. In a lot of ways, we do the very same thing, right? We love God. We want to follow Jesus. But we also elevate things in our lives to a place of dependence, right? To a place that God never intended them to be. And think about the gold that they used for that calf, right? It was the gold that God provided when they left Egypt. It was provided to them by God, but they used that gold in a way that was never intended by God to be used. And we said on Sunday that Paul in Romans gives us a great biblical definition of idolatry in chapter 1. He wrote, "For they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator." Right? They worshiped. It's not a question of whether you have worship in your heart, but really where you place that worship. And you can see that in what you serve and what you live for and what you sacrifice for. Now, Paul said the truth would be to worship the creator, and the lie is to worship what is created. The lie that someone or something can actually function as or replace God. And most of the time, they're good things, right? They're good gifts from God, but we've made them something that God never intended them to be. And that's what makes it difficult, right? Because idols can really be anything, even good things. You know, when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, the first two were about idolatry, right? Don't have any other gods in my presence. Don't make any images. Don't bow down to them or worship them. And then he gives the reason. He said, "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." And we see it again in chapter 34 and again in Deuteronomy 4. And this characteristic of God should not only help us see the seriousness of idolatry, but then also to deal with it. I mean, think about this for a minute, right? The reason God hates idolatry, the reason we see this all throughout Scripture is because he has an all-consuming love for his people. He has an all-consuming love for you. And he's not willing to share you. And if that doesn't change your view of God, it for sure should change your view of yourself. Right? You can't understand the seriousness of idolatry without understanding the jealousy of God. And you can't understand the jealousy of God without understanding his relentless and powerful love for you. Jesus shows you how far God is willing to go. Well, let's make it super clear. are the only type of relationship God is interested in having with you is an exclusive and committed relationship. Right, God longs for and requires a radical kind of commitment from his people. He doesn't just want to be in your life. He wants your life to be his. He said, have no other gods before me, which literally means have no other gods in my presence. It doesn't mean that I need to be number one in your life. It means that I'm to be the only one in your life. The only way to remove these idols in your life is not by your own effort, but by replacing them with the one that can remove them. Tim Keller wrote one time that idols cannot simply be removed, they must be replaced. So this morning, I want to encourage you to take a few minutes and just search your heart. All right, what is it that you have in your life that you worship and that you depend on alongside God? What is it for you? And then we want to take those to God. We want to confess those. We want to repent of those. And then we want to ask God to continue to change your hearts. Let's go ahead and take a few minutes and do that now. Thanks for listening to the LifePoint Drivecast this morning. I hope this has been an encouragement for you, and we hope to see you back again tomorrow.